Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again. In the year 2014, we done crossed over to a new year, and God is still in the blessing business. He has seen fit that we come together one more time, and for that, we just want to say thank you. Oh, I feel such a privilege and an honor to be with you on tonight. And after getting over the holidays and missing the broadcast on Christmas Day and the broadcast on New Year's Day, I feel so good to be back with the believers of Christ, fellowshipping with the household of faith, and having each and every one of you tune in and listen on tonight. Well, as always, we have to give all obedience to God, for he is truly the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank him for his darling son, Jesus, and the sweet Holy Spirit, our comforter and our guide. And as always, I have to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And all of us meeting together at the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night, week after week, to come and share in the Word of God. As always, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question or ask for prayer, pray for us, please, at the allotted time, press the 1 button on your phone, and I will open the mic, and you will be able to share your concerns and your encouragement to each and every one of us. Well, as always, I'm going to start off with a song from Yolanda Adams, because just as in the year 2013, it was God that was bringing us through all of our battles, I want you to know that the same thing stands in 2014. So I'm going to play this record, this song by Yolanda Adams, "The Battle Is Not Yours." Keep that in mind as we go through the trials and tribulations of life. And once the song is over, I'll come back. We would enter into prayer, and then we'll go into the Word of God. For those of you who are going to get your Bibles out, we're going to be coming from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and the second verse. Enjoy the music.
Thank you.
Well, we have to remember that the battle is not ours, but it belongs to the Lord. And as we enter 2014, we have to be mindful of that. Just as well as God brought you to through 2013, he is willing and able to bring you through 2014. So we should set our hearts and our minds on the Lord. It's prayer time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Heavenly Father, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we lean and depend on you. Heavenly Father, we can't make it without you. Heavenly Father, I feel so good and I'm so grateful to come before you in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person that is represented on this line tonight. I ask that you give them the blessings that they're in need of. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just do the things that are necessary in their lives, dear God. Some people are in need of finances, and some people is in need of health, and some people is in need of fixing broken relationships, and some people are dealing with debt of the loved ones, and some people, children, are in prison, dear God, and some people just don't have nowhere to live, dear God, and other people need you for this, and everyone needs you for that, dear God, but you are able, and you're faithful. You told us in all things through prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto you. Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you because there's no other help we know. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you heal the brokenhearted. I'm asking that you direct the lost, dear God. I'm asking that every sinner can find you, dear God, and say, what must I do to be saved? Heavenly Father, I am so grateful and I'm so honored to come before you, your throne of grace, with a petition, dear God. Heavenly Father, and everything that we ask, we have to add into it, not our will, but your will. But have your way with this lesson tonight, dear God. Allow your Holy Spirit to reveal in the hearts of the minds of the people the things that they're looking for. Heavenly Father, I am only a vessel. I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost will give illumination and revelation to those who seek him. Lord, I'm asking that you have your way. I submit under the power of the Holy Ghost that the word that go forward won't return void. Meet and reach every person that calling this line needs, dear God. And we're going to be so careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Well, it's Inspirational Wednesday Bible Night, and I'm so glad to get this Bible study started. I pray that you open your minds and your hearts and be prayerful that the word of God that come forward is what you will need on tonight. The Bible says that the word won't return void. So open up your mind and meditate on the words and chew it so that you can receive what God has for you and the word that he imparted into me to give to you. For those, again, who are going to have their Bibles, we're going in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first and the second verse. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2. Well, as always, I always like to give an introduction of the book, the character, the place, or something about it, so that you can have that, that you can connect that with your Bible knowledge. So I'm going to tell you something about the book of Romans tonight. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and we know that Paul wrote several books. In other words, they sometimes call letters and epistles, and he wrote 13, and some people give him credit for the book of Hebrews, which we say the author is not known, but we know that he wrote 13 of the letters. And here Paul is writing to the saints in Rome. Most of them were Gentiles, but some of them was Jews. They had become converted and they became Christians and they started a fellowship in Rome. Romans, the book is called The Constitution of Christianity. For those who hearing this on the night, you should want to visit Roman, because they say it's called the Constitution, and that's pretty deep. So if you go through the book of Romans and you explore the things that God is revealing to us by man that he inspired them to write, you should know a lot about God. The Apostle Paul, see, he was intelligent, he was articulate, and he committed to his calling. In other words, when he decided to follow Christ and to learn of God, he did it with all due diligence. See, he was like a skilled lawyer. He presented the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. He presented it clearly and forthrightly. You see, in his letters to the believers in Rome, Paul had heard about the church in Rome. He had not yet been there, and he did not establish it. You see, the church in Rome was established after the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. And when all of these people who had came to where, you know, the day of Pentecost, and they heard the word. They say 5,000 souls got saved, and they didn't count men and women, so that was a lot. And that's when the Holy Ghost was dispersed, and a lot of people were saved. So when all of these people went back to their hometown, they started to spread the gospel in their hometown, and that's how the believers began there, and the church was established, and the church in Rome had grown. Paul had heard about this. He hadn't visited, and he wasn't the one that implemented the church. But you see, although there were many barriers that separate them, Paul felt a bond with these believers in Rome. They were his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he longed to see them face to face. You know, we are all one body, and we are all sisters and brothers in Christ. But do we have the love for each other that we should have? They say help everybody, but be even more helpful to the body of Christ. And we have to be mindful of that. You see, Paul was a Roman citizen. You know, his birthplace was Rome, his wife was in Rome. So, of course, he had special admiration for them as well. The book of Romans, if you want to know, tells us about God. It tells us who he is and what he has done. And a final note on the book of Romans before we start the lesson. Romans makes it clear that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. You see, because every good deed we have ever done in our lives and ever will do is like filthy rags before God. Let's not get it twisted. And yes, we should do things, and God do reward those who diligently search, seek him. But the point I'm trying to make, that you can't do good enough to be saved, and you cannot save yourself, because it is only by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, can we be saved. And see, God made it that way and fixed it that way. It's through the blood of Jesus by his only begotten Son. Because you see, if men could save themselves, they will walk around boasting all day. But it's only through Christ Jesus are we saved. And my topic for tonight is, we must learn how to line our head, which is our mind, up with our heart. You might say, what are you talking about? We must line our head, which is our mind, up with our heart. That's the topic for tonight. So we're going to go into the scriptures, and we should be able to understand more and more the topic, what I'm talking about, as we map it out and walk it out through the word of God. So we're going to start with the scriptures now, Romans 12:2. You see, Romans 12:2 say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, in the Old Testament, when they were sacrificing animals, because you see, that's what they had to do according to God's law. the priest would come and he would kill the animal, cut it up in pieces, and place it on the altar. When the animal sacrifice was burned, the aroma filled the air, and they say it went up to God's nostrils, and God accepted that sacrifice as an act of obedience. It didn't take the sin away, but it covered it, and God accepted this. You see, this was an act of obedience, just as presenting, as the scriptures say, we should present our bodies as living sacrifice unto God. And I just came to tell you tonight, the only way we could present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God is by our obedience. You see, sacrifice is just important now as it was then. Of course, we don't sacrifice animals anymore because that's what they did in the law of Moses. But now we sacrifice ourselves by our obedience. You see, God makes it clear that obedience from the heart is more important than burning bulls or doing things for him now that you grumble and regret and mumble and don't do it with a pure heart. God said, whatever you're going to do, do it with a pure heart. Anything you're going to do towards God or do towards fellow man, don't help your friend out and then talk about it. Do it from your heart. Don't go to church and tithe because the preacher keeps saying it and you put the money in the basket and now you sorry you did it and you complaining about what you do. When they ask God, how do you supposed to give? God said, Jesus Christ said, give, but give what you're willing to give. Give what you're going to joyfully give. Because if you don't, it don't count. So we have to do it from our heart. 1 Samuel, for those who have their Bible, 1 Samuel 15 and 22. 1 Samuel 15 and 22. And this was Samuel. And the scripture says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? And then some people will say, well, and I ain't never heard the voice of God. When you read the word of God, you hear the voice of God. And then the scripture says, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than in any burnt offering. You see, this scripture let us know that it is better to obey and submit than to sacrifice as done in the days of old. You see, they kept killing animals and killing animals and killing animals and going back to God because they had messed up. God knew at that time that that wouldn't work and that man would not be able to have a relationship with him because they couldn't burn and kill enough animals and the blood of the animals wasn't good enough, so he gave us the blood of his son. And just as well as the people in the Old Testament kept burning and killing and sacrificing, we today are doing the same thing. You see, because we do a little something and then we repent. We do a little something and repent. We do a little something and repent. This scripture has let us know that it is better to obey and submit than to sacrifice. And today, keep on repenting sin after sin. You see, God wants us to offer, he really wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifice. He wants us to daily lay aside our own desires to follow him. How often do we put our own desires before God? How often do we think of the things of God and yet let our mind bring us to places we don't want to go? And then we follow it. But he wants us to lay aside our desires daily to follow him. Putting all our energy and resources at his disposal and trusting him to guide us. You know, everything you have, God gave it to you. Everything you have belongs to God, and everything you'll ever have belongs to God. The scripture says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwell therein. Once we truly realize that we are only stewards, because a steward is someone that takes care of something for someone else. You see, on this earth, we are only stewards with whatever we have, with our money and our homes, our cars, our jobs, our children. We are only stewards. And the Bible teaches that we should be good stewards. But what we are saying that we should put all of our resources, which is his in the first place, at his disposal and trust him to guide us with it. You see, so many of us don't trust God. We always trying to do things on our own. And every time you try to do something on your own, you're really telling God that he's not either fast enough, good enough, or don't know enough. You need to remember, God does not need you to do anything he want to do. God is in control, is truly in control, and nothing happens unless God orchestrates or allow it. So seem like to me it's better to get with God's program than to create your own program and then have to go to God. Go to God first. You see, we should do this out of gratitude by giving everything we have to his disposal and trusting him out of gratitude. Because look at this. Because our sins has been forgiven. Do you ever raise your hand and just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for allowing your son to take away our sins? That is the most important thing that has ever happened, and yet we act like it never happened. Hallelujah. You see, in the Old Testament, the people had to go and offer because for their sins to be forgiven. You see, they sacrificed over and over and over because God accepted that. But they only covered the sins, and it could never be removed. You see, so God stepped up. See, God is so faithful and so loving and so kind, and he loves us so much. He didn't want us to keep struggling. So the scripture came up with John 3:16, and it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever lives, whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see right here? When God allowed Jesus to come, he died on the cross and was buried and rose. See, Jesus paid the price once and for all. We don't have to keep going to the temple and sacrificing. Jesus paid the price once and for all and has removed all the sins of the world, of the believers, and he has only gave us one simple task, to submit and obey. God said, and I'm sure when we get there, and God has a great sense of humor, he's going to look at, well, I guess he's doing it from heaven as he sat on his throne and Jesus on the right hand, just looking down at us, just laughing and cracking up about some of the things that we think are so important and some of the ways we do things that are unnecessary and what we're doing and how we think and our perception and our reality is all twisted. God said, what I have proposed is simple. He said, I give you a simple task, just submit and obey. When God sees us, he no longer sees our sins. If you're a child of God and you accepted his son, when God sees you, he only sees Jesus. Jesus, when you accept him, your sins are forgiven. So God's not looking at the sin. He's looking at the saint. And do we make mistakes? Yes. I didn't say when you accepted Christ and God looks at the sin that you will be made perfect. You see, we must submit and obey. And we wouldn't have to live with the consequences of our sinful actions. You see, in the old days, they kept sacrificing. Jesus came, he done took our sins away, so we don't have to sacrifice. But, you know, we do something wrong. We are taught we have to repent. So we do something wrong today, we do something wrong tomorrow, we keep repenting. But you see, what's in place now is consequences for our action. And the consequences could be good or bad. You see, but if you keep doing simple things, you're going to get simple consequences. And you have to pay the price. Because you see, Jesus said, I died for your sins. But I didn't die for your consequences. They belong to you. You see, even as presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, God, that we would, God knew we wouldn't be able to accomplish it accomplish it on our own. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and God always make provisions. One thing, if you don't learn anything else from me, remember, what God asks you to do, he done already made provision. Where God send you, there is already provision. What God tell you, the provisions is already there. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. God knows our weakness. He knows our undevelopments. He know our twisted way of thinking. But you see, God uses everything for his glory. And you say, why God chose me, why not you? You see, you got to remember that God used what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for whatever he wants. Because this is his world, and we only playing a part. You see, John 16, 7 and 8, for the ones who have their Bibles, John 16, 7 and 8, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, this is Jesus talking, so you could believe it. But anything in the Bible, you could believe, because people say the Bible is written by man, but, oh, it was inspired by God. You think a God with all that power and all that might would allow something to be written in the Bible that's not true to confuse his people? Come on now. But Jesus is saying this. He say, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. You know, this is when Jesus was fixing to leave, and he was trying to explain it to the disciples who just couldn't get it right. They couldn't understand that he had to go, and they didn't know where he was going and why he needed to go. He said, but it is to your advantage that I go, because if I do not go away, the helper, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him to you. See, that's what he's saying. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When he got ready to go to sit at the right hand of the Father to intercede on our behalf, he said, when I leave, I'm going to send you a helper. Hallelujah. God said, I will never leave you and forsake you, and God always make provisions. Remember that. And when Jesus said, but if I go, I will send him. And when he come, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Here we see that the Holy Ghost is our helper. Of all of the gifts given to mankind by God, I want you to know tonight that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, presence in our lives is so important. We should learn how to submit and obey the Holy Spirit, because he's indwelling in us. You know, for a long, long time, and even now in my life, a lot of people that I know, they talk about different things that happen, and they say, you know, something told me. What is something? There's no such something. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's God trying to guide and lead you to where you need to go. He said, I will protect you from all hurt, harm, and danger. Will you listen to my voice? The Holy Ghost is indwelling in us. You see, once we were saved, the Holy Ghost take permanent residence in our heart forever. You know how sometimes you feel like God done separated from you? God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, God didn't separate from you. You're separating from God. And you're not really separating, but you feel the absence, because maybe you're not feeding your spirit, man. Maybe you're not, you know, having fellowship with God. And that's why you feel separated. God said, I ain't got nowhere to go. And even when you feel I'm not there, there's only one set of footprints in the sand, because I'm carrying you. The Holy Ghost take permanent residence in our hearts forever. He seals us with the confirming. He confirms, he certifies, and assures our pledge and our decree that God has given us an eternal state as his children. Once you accept Christ, the Holy Ghost seal you with the promise that you will enter eternal life, because you got the gift of salvation. once saved, always saved. Now, not everybody who say, Lord, Lord, is saved, because God looks at the heart. See, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. So if you accepted Christ with your whole heart and you believe that he is your Savior and you believe that he died and that he rose, you are saved. Now, how you live on this earth depends on you. Because if you stay in line with the things of God, I guarantee you have more success instead of going to the left on your own. But you will be saved. Now, how you live on this earth depends on you. You see, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our guide, our counselor. And when we say that he's our counselor, it means one who is called alongside. That means he's alongside with you with every step you take, every breath you make, every move you make, everything you take. Everywhere you go, you're bringing the Holy Ghost with you. Do you think you bring the Holy Ghost to some places he don't want to go? Check yourself out. Are you doing things that won't be pleasing to God, and the Holy Ghost got to sit right there with you through it? But you see, the Holy Ghost is bigger than that, and he can't leave you. So we should try to submit and obey and get everything lined up that we could receive everything that God has for us. You see, you might never want to do things that's right no more. Let me just tell you this. If you never pick up your Bible another day in your life, if you never get down on your knees another day in your life, if you never step into a church one day of your life, that will not affect who God is. God gonna be God no matter what you do. And then when you start going to church and you start reading the Word of God and you start praying constantly, don't think you're doing God no favor, because the Bible is daily instruction for daily living. That's for you, your manual for living here on this earth, that you may have success. Going to church is for you because you get to fellowship one with another and you get to be taught by a man of God or a woman of God and the fellowship you have there. And when you read the Bible, it gives you instruction for you to go forward and do the things. It helps you in your trials and tribulations. God don't need help with trials and tribulation, and God don't have to read the Bible because he ordained it. He created it. He inspired it. He know what's in it, but he wrote it for you. You either get with the program or you let the program get you. Learn how to submit and obey the Holy Ghost because he is indwelling in you. You see, Jesus gave the Holy Ghost. Oh, this one is so good. It made me sit back. Jesus gave the Holy Ghost as compensation for his absence. How you like that? When Jesus knew he had to go because it was the Father's will that once he died, buried, and be resurrected, that he was set at his right hand. See, all prophecy was being fulfilled, and the prophecy said that Jesus would go back to the Father. So Jesus knew he had to go, but you see, that's what I'm talking about, the provisions of God. Even though Jesus had to leave this earth, the Holy Ghost was already set up and waiting and in line to be compensation for Jesus' absence. You see, the Holy Ghost now was to perform the function towards us, which he would have done, talking about Jesus, if he had remained personally with us. See, the Holy Spirit is a fruit producer in our lives. When he indwells in us, he began the work of harvesting his fruit in our lives. You know, that's the fruit that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Come on now. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which you can find in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in 22 and 23. But listen at this. When the Holy Ghost came, he automatically came with the fruit. So if you know it or don't know it, the fruit of the Spirit is already in your life. It depends on how much you submit and obey that they could be cultivated and they could come through and they could show. You know, they could say, how can she be a Christian and yet I don't see no love in her life? It don't mean that when you accepted Christ and God allowed the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you that the gift of love is not in you. You're not doing anything to cultivate it. You know, they fruit. You have to grow them. You have to water it. You have to feed it. Plant food. You have to do these things. You see, but it is in you. Self control. Everybody got the ability to have self control. They might not always show it. You see, everybody got the ability to be gentle, but some people are so rough. Check yourself out. You have the ability to be patient. You see, that's why we are processed. Once we accept Christ and believe and trusted him as our Savior and we became Christian, it's a journey. It's not a destination. Because you see, if we'd accepted Christ and everything was finished, we would be finished. But we accepted Christ and we have to live on earth until Jesus come back for us or we be done died. So the walk that we have to walk is a journey, and the things that we have to do, we have to realize that it's a process. So yes, you should be showing more love, and yes, you should be receiving more joy. And if you don't have peace in your life, and you don't have patience in your life, and nothing don't seem good for you, it's in you. The Holy Ghost brought it to each and every believer. If you're a believer, it's in you. Do the things of God to be able to feel it and just bask in it and dance with it and sing with it. Galatians 5:22-23. I want you to know that these are not see that love, peace, and joy, none of that is the work of the flesh. You see, the flesh is incapable of producing such fruit. But they are produced of the Spirit that is present in your life. I ain't say that might be present in your life. I'm telling you, it is in your life. It's up to you to exhibit it in your life. You see, they say, God, that, you know, we ask God, there's a scripture that say, teach us to walk after the Spirit, which is these fruit I just told you about, and not after the flesh. If you spend more time in the things of the flesh, then what everybody going to see and what you're going to produce is the things of the flesh. But if you spend time in the Spirit, believe me, then what will be seen is the Spirit. Will anybody be perfect? No. Can you be better? Yes. And our desire should be to become better and better each day as we transform and renew. Now that we have looked at the heart, let us just go deal with this thing called a mind. As I said in a lesson, I say the head, which is called the mind. So now we're going to go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and the second verse. Romans 12:2. And that scripture reads, and be not conformed, I guess that's what I was talking about earlier, you know, be not conformed to this world. How can you be conformed to this world when everything about you look, taste, feel like flesh? That none of God can be seen in nothing you do and nothing you say, how you walk, how you talk. I mean, absolutely nothing. They say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, saints, I got to tell y'all, we can't sit around and believe that we are afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. If everybody can make it up as they go, what would be the need for the Bible? You know, there's Christians and people walking around and saying, oh, that's not necessary. Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to go here to be saved, and you don't have to say this, and, you know, nobody can't tell me nothing. Well, if nobody can't tell you nothing, that means you believe that God can't use people to bring a word to you. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people and talked to his prophets to go talk to the people. God say, since I send my son, he walked the earth. He say, the word is going to come to each other from one another. But be not conformed. You see, God established the church, so that the church could sit on a hill and it could have integrity and respect, and it would draw all men unto God. But you see, in the world we're living in right now in 2014, instead of the church conforming the people in the world is daily conforming the church. But that don't mean that God is still not God, and that don't mean what God got for you, you ain't going to get it. You going to get it. You mean to tell me if you believe you go to church Sunday after Sunday, and even though man is not perfect, who is perfect? And I tell people all the time, if you ever find a perfect church, don't never give me the address. Because I know once I go there, it will no longer be perfect. We are not to become Christ. We are to come as much as Christ-like as we can. We have to not be conformed by the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is in Jesus Christ. You see, this scripture let us know that we must renew our head, which is our mind, constantly. You see, the head is a part of the human being in which thoughts take place. Perceptions and deceptions, decisions and several collisions, to do good or evil, it all take place in the boardrooms of our minds. You see, our minds are subject to our sin nature, and the devil has access to us through our thoughts. You see, sin doesn't occur with a beginning. Sin doesn't occur with the beginning of our thoughts, but in the acceptance and the consideration of it is where the problem begins. You see, because a thought in and of itself is nothing. It's not what we do with the thought that matters. No, let me say that again. You see, a thought in and of itself is nothing. It's not so much the thought, but what we do with the thought that matters. You see, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm doing certain things, you know, in my old nature, you know, come up. And it'll take me to a thought that I used to be so all right with. And it, you know, I guess try to get me to do some things that I used to would do. But you see, that thought come in my mind, and I have to, you know, say, oh, no. You know, I rebuke you, Satan. You know, the devil, you are a liar. Because a thought in and of itself is nothing. It's what you do with that thought that really matters. See, the thing is, our minds have full view of all the things the world has to offer. Our mind have full view of the good, the bad, the ugly, the greed, the pride, the boastfulness, beauty, sexuality. You know, our minds have full view of all of these things. And it's where the thoughts of flesh resides. All in our mind. And if you think Satan can't get to your mind, there's a scripture in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 26th and the 27th verse. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. This is what that scripture says. It said, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Because if you do, you will give the devil a foothold. Now, you know what a foothold is. That's like if you're trying to shut the door and you put your foot out and it stops the door and the door can't shut. You see, what it's saying, if you go to bed angry, you know, Satan going to come and play with your mind. He's going to get a foothold to tell you when you wake up, you should be the same way. Or it will stay with you all night and you will be, that anger will be escalating and exaggerating, you know, and it would be imagination, and it's made worse than it was. You see, we are all tempted in our mind, if you believe it or not. Because there's a scripture in James 1, 14 and 15. James 1, 14 and 15 that says, each one is tempted when by his own evil he is dragged away and enticed. Each one is tempted when by his own evil. You see, some thoughts are of God. Some is a foothold of Satan. And some stuff you sit there and twiddle your own thumbs and you come up with it. So there's God, devil, and theyself. Don't, you know, when you're trying to evaluate where something is coming from, check yourself. Then check with the word of God for God and know the deception of the Satan, because he's nothing but a robber and a killer and a destroyer. Hallelujah. Then after, you know, you dragged away and enticed. You see, then we must receive the pay for our consequences of our action. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, this he should also reap. But I have good news for you and bad news. You're going to reap if you're sowing good, and you're going to reap bad if you're sowing bad. Check it out in Galatians 6 and 7. And as I get ready to close tonight, I can only speak for myself. I know beyond a reasonable doubt, I believe it with all of my heart, that my heart is much better than my action. My heart is better than the deeds that I do, and is better than every thought that I could think. You see, once you know the word of God, you receive the mind of God, because the word of God is the mind of God. Whenever we think, the Holy Ghost is helping us by reminding us of the things of God, and then all other kind of things tag along. But you see, we must line our head up with our mind, and we must line our mind up with our heart. Then we could do as 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. We got to start doing this, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will take you to places you thought you wanted to go, and once you get there, you don't know why. Your mind will do all of these things to you. So we got to do as 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 say, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity everything to the obedience of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that one more time because it sounds good to me. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So I think that's the way that's what we have to do to transform our mind. Bring every thought into the captivity through the obedience of God. Capture that thought with the word of God. When Satan told God here, Jesus Christ, after he was tempted for 40 days, when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus came out there and he was hungry, and Satan knew it. Satan told him, here's some bread. Here's some bread, because I know you're hungry, and I'll give you this bread if you do thus and so. Jesus told him, man don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Bring that deception and those collisions and them adversities and them trials and tribulations. Bring them under captivity with the word of God. Tell that problem, I'm the head and not the tail. Tell that problem, no weapon formed against me should prosper. Tell that problem, I resist you, Satan, and you have to flee. Tell that problem. If I seek God and all his righteousness, I'm going to have what I want. Don't make me think I got to do something wrong to get what I want. I got to wait on God. And then I also know everything is not for everybody. You see, the Bibles tell us that one of the highest ultimate goals that God has in store for each one of us is our transformation in him. And this transformation is accomplished by the renewing of your mind. Remember, God is always near to help you. So I'm going to leave you with this scripture. If you got your Bible, go to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. And I think this is going to sum up what I wanted to say, lining up and controlling your thoughts. Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever thing are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what the Bible is asking you to do is to think on these things. And it say, if you think on these things, those things which you have heard and learned, reading the Bible, going to Bible study, Sunday school, listening at the TV, those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. If you're looking for peace of God tonight, read it again. Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. God is always near. And anything that God ever asks you to do, he has already made provision. He just has one simple task for us, and that is to submit and obey. Learn how to obey and submit unto the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living in you to be your comforter, your guide. And the Holy Ghost want to call things to you, to your memories that will help you. But you see, we have to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved. We have to become workmen, not ashamed to rightly divide the Word of truth. You see, when the Holy Ghost is ready to work with you, he has to work with the Word that you have placed inside of you. If there's nothing that you put in, it's nothing that he can get out. So again, we see if you decide not to read the Word of God because you don't think it's necessary in time when the Word of God is needed and the Holy Ghost is trying to bring it to your memory, he has nothing to pull up. Again, that depends on you. But no matter what you do, God is God all by himself. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you receive something from the Word of God. The Word of God will never return void. Ask God for what you want, and he's got it. God said, I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. He's saying, no good deed will go undone. So at this time, I'm asking that anybody that's on the phone, if you would please press the 1 button. I will open the mic, and you can make comments. You could give encouragement. This 2014, we want to hear from you. For this program to be keep going on. We need to know that this program is doing good and that you're enjoying it and it's making a difference in your life. Because, you know, how could I decide to take time and labor in the Word and come back every Monday and I don't know what effect it is having on the people. But it's not for me to know to have the effect, so I'll take that back. But I just could use encouragement sometime. You know, I just want to hear from you. I have some people that done pressed the mic, and I'm opening the mic now. 985-224, your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Di. I just want to say welcome back. My heart jumped with joy to be back and listening to Wednesday night Bible study. I want to also wish you a prosperous and a good new year. I know you were out because of the holidays, but we really miss you on those Wednesdays, and God bless you. We are back, you're back, and we just want to keep going forward with what we've been doing in 2013 and even better in 2014. Again, thank you for all of your inspiration, all of your teaching, all of your encouragement to us, and I just encourage you to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Sister Di.
And I thank you, Sister Brown from La Place, Louisiana. I thank God for you. Each time you call, it makes my heart jump that I know you're taking time out of your busy schedule Wednesday after Wednesday to come back. And I pray that you receive from the Word of God all that you desire and that your knowledge of the Word of God is growing and that the Holy Ghost will give you illumination and revelation. God bless you as well, and Happy New Year's to you as well. And God be with you. I have another caller. The caller got their line open. The caller number is 504-408-9585. 9-9. I'm not going to say your last three numbers. You can speak at this time. Your mic is open. And there's two more numbers. The one button is pressed. Your mic is open. If you would like to make comments or concerns at this time, you can. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. 504-948-99. I have another caller that's impressed in. Caller at 504-729-70. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rian, and I just wanted to thank you so much for allowing God to use you. I know everybody kind of needs encouragement from time to time just to know that what they're doing is getting through to God's people, and I just want you to know that the messages Wednesdays and Mondays, they touch me. It helps in so many ways, more than you'll know. So we just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, keep allowing God to use you to bring his word to his people, because it does matter. It does benefit us, and it does stick with us. You know, I've learned a whole lot since I've joined your Bible study last July, a lot more than I've learned in a lot of other places, and that just means that God put me here for a reason. So I do thank you for laboring in his word to bring his word to his people. And it is benefiting, it's working, so keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Sister Rian.
You're welcome.
My little sister in Christ. I just thank you for those words of encouragement, and it's glad to hear your voice. And I just pray that God keep us together and our fellowship grows in the Lord, and that we learn more and more about him, that our way, our crooked ways may be made straight. And I thank God for you, and thank you for calling in, and God bless you. Is there any other callers who would like to say anything at this time? Well, there's two things I could do. I could go in prayer so that people who have to leave the line would have the benediction and a prayer. I could go in songs. So the only way for you guys to talk to me is press the button. And then the majority rule. I'm going to do it another way. The ones who press the one button, I will not open the mic and you do not have to talk. All I'm asking is, should I go into prayer first or go into another song? Everybody that would like me to do the prayer, because they may have to leave and they want to stay in a benediction, press the one on your phone. So everybody ready for a song? Hallelujah. So we're going to play Sonny Nolfo, and the word is the song is Justified. And after the song, I'll come to you in prayer, and we will finish the Bible study for this Wednesday night.
The enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're
And I stopped playing the music right now, and we could go back to it, but I see that some callers has pressed the one button. And before it get too late, I would like to give them an opportunity to make their comments or their concerns. I see the lines lit up, and there's three callers in a skew. So I'm going to get to you, and I'm going now to 281-0908. 281-0, this must be going to be good, call. I'm waiting for you. 281-809, your mic is now open. 281,
hello?
Yes.
Auntie Nine, how you doing?
Hello, Tamika.
I wanted to tell everybody good evening, and I wanted to tell you Happy New Year, and I thank you again for conducting the Bible study on Wednesdays. It gets me through the week, and I'm glad that you were able to give clarity. I think that I've been getting in my own way. I never looked at it as you stated a little while ago, is that pretty much sometimes we get in the way of ourselves.
Correct.
The right way of
we always do.
Mm-hmm. We don't allow God to do what he needs to do, and like you said, he's looking at it like you don't trust him, which really is insulting. So now I have a better understanding, and to just stay out of it. If you got to go through the process, just go and just know that he'll get you through it. So I wanted to tell you thank you for that, and I continue to look forward to the meetings that we have with myself and the other callers and listening to you break everything down. So I wanted to say thank you, and I love you, and tell my cousins that I love them as well, and that's pretty much it. And good night, everybody.
And Tamika, I just want to say thank you because you call Wednesday after Wednesday and you give me such encouraging words. You make me dig more so I could give you something that the Holy Ghost could give you clarity. I speak to the Holy Ghost and make a request known in your behalf because the Bible says that whoever seek him, you shall find. And I tell y'all all the time, I can't give revelation or illumination, but I can give information, and God has given me the gift to be able to break it down and for you to use it and go to the Holy Ghost to let him know that this is what you got and you want him to elevate it. And I thank you, Tamika. I love you. Happy New Year, and I look forward to seeing, hearing from you again on Wednesday. You be blessed, and keep thinking on the things of God, because God is always near. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And anything he has asked you to do, he done already made the provisions. And I thank you, and have a blessed week. I have a call at 504-224-35. The one button is pressing. Your mic is open. 504-244-35. Your mic is open. Maybe it was open by mistake, but 504-244-35, and I'm not going to call the last two numbers in your phone number, but your mic is open at this time. Well, they must not have anything to say. But there's another call at 504-251-39. Right now, your mic is open, and you may speak. 504-251-39. Do you want to speak, caller?
No.
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 The one button. Fine. The one button was pressed. So that's all the callers we had for the new buttons being pressed. Let me check the board and make sure there's no other buttons pressed at this time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you back to the song that was already playing. And after that one plays, I have another one for you. But at this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pray because some of the callers be hanging up because, you know, it's a one-hour Bible study. But those who like to stay, we play songs, we still talk. So at this time, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything that went forth tonight. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your spirit, and I thank you for each caller. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word don't return void, and it's the word that can carry them through the week and through their lives, that they could use what the Holy Ghost gave me to give them, that they may be edified and Satan may be horrified and God may be glorified. And I ask all these things and blessings in Jesus' name. Protect them, God, each and every one of them. Give favor in their life, dear God, and protect their homes and protect their children and protect their finances and protect their health. These blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I just want to say amen and thank God. Now I'm going back to Sonny Norfolk, and once that record play, I have Tamaya King, Take Me to the King. And that was Sonny Norfolk. And at this time, I'm going to play Tamela Mann, Take Me to the King. Be blessed.
Stand in the presence of the King. That's all I want him to do is say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to play a song by Fred Hammond and Reuben Studdy, A Closer Walk with Thee. It is so beautiful. Listen and enjoy. We still have a few callers on, and whenever you're ready to hang up, we'll meet you back on Wednesday. But A Closer Walk with Thee, Fred Hammond and Robin Studdard.
Thank you.
Well, that was Fred Haven and Reuben Stutters. And that's our program for tonight. Tamika, I say, because I see you still on the line, you be blessed. And God has wonderful things in store for you. But submit and obey and let him have his way. When we trust God, what we doing when we trust God is we saying that God knows best. And if you believe him, you could just you should know that he knows best. And then you let him have your way, because his will is not our way, and our way is not his will. So let God fix it for you, because he knows just what to do. That's our program for tonight, and I'll see you guys back next Wednesday, same time, same station, and be blessed. Good night.